Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. You good this morning? I've just been looking at some verses to do with God's commands. And when you look in the Bible, God's commands are not... they are instructions, but they're not commands in the sense as do as you're told. You know, I think a lot of the time when we think about commands, we think just simply in the context of sheer obedience to commands that God gives, or our thinking sometimes to do with commands is just do as you're told. And actually, God's commands are not based from a thinking of just do as you're told, whether you like it or not. The word command actually means to walk in his ways. It's to walk in his will. So when we see through the Bible God gives commands, it's about us walking in his ways or walking in his will. And so often with God's commands, there are promises that come with those commands of what God does as a result of us walking in his ways and walking in his will. So you know when it talks about God commands us to love him, it's not just just do it whether you like it or not. Just obey me, you know, because I'm telling you to do so. What God is talking about is to walk in a relationship of love, or to be in a relationship of love with him, is to love him. Yes, it's a command, but it's to walk in his ways because he is love. And therefore, he wants us to walk in a relationship of love, or have a relationship of love with him. Therefore, when he says, you know, we're to love him, it's because he knows if we walk in a relationship of love, if we walk in that kind of relationship, then we're going to live and receive the dynamic of love that he is and he has for us. And so let's just think of commands this morning as walking in his ways, or walking in his will, rather than just seeing it as a cold kind of do as you're told, because these are commands. That's not how God thinks. Remember, God gave us a will. God gave man, he gave us free will to choose, because he knows relationship has to be something that somebody decides to walk in. A relationship is something that where God wants us to engage our will in a relationship with him. So it's not just a robotic, automatic kind of relationship that we just do as we're told because, you know, God is God and we are not, and therefore we just do as we're told, like a robotic kind of human being. God gave us free will, so we engage with him in a two-way relationship. We engage with him in an intimate relationship. It's one of two-way response. It's a two-way communication. It's a two-party kind of relationship that we have with God. And yes, he's God, and we want to obey him, but we want to obey him because we love him. But when it says we want to obey him, it's more about we want to walk in his ways. We want to walk in his will. So I just want to look at a few scriptures this morning, because I believe God wants to set us free to live in the freedom of his commands. Because his commands are not burdensome. When you look in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about his commands are not burdensome, but and his commands enable us to overcome the world and to overcome the spirit of the world and the things that come against us. So his commands enable us to live in victory, to overcome, to walk by faith. Maybe if we had the board this morning, we could write on there decisions of faith. Because every time we respond to a command of God, or every time we respond to the will of God, or to the ways of God, it requires a decision of faith. But that decision of faith will always enable us to live in victory, or to overcome, or to break through, or to live in the good of whatever God says. So I'm going to use the truth version and just read through some of the commands, or some of the context, or the verses that are in the old and the new about the commands of God. What's amazing is how many times God speaks about his commands in the context of love, a relationship of love, and about loving and fulfilling his purpose for our lives through love. So let's have a look in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 7. It says, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words of command I give you today are to be embedded in your hearts. Be diligent in teaching them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you arise. So what's he saying here? Basically all the time, in whatever context, speak about these things. But he says here, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, when we respond to the commands of God, his grace kicks in our lives. You know, sometimes we say, well, I need the grace of God in order to live in a certain way. Well, that's true. But also the grace of God works the other way, that when we respond to the commands of God, the grace then kicks in to live it. Because grace is not based on feelings, is it? Grace is based on us living in the truth of who he is, or living in obedience, or living in the ways of God. Because when we live in that way, we're living in the grace of God. Because the grace of God is there to enable us to live and walk in the truth. The mercy of God is there to cover us when we don't walk in that way. And when we walk in disobedience, the mercy of God is there to give us the opportunity to respond, to get right with God, or to get our hearts right, or whatever, so that we then step back into walking in the grace of God. So the grace of God enables us to live in the commands of God. Are you with me? And so, although this is in the context of the Old Testament and it's a command, that in and of themselves, they couldn't fulfill in their own strength. And we now have the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to live in the good of these commands. When we respond, when we make a decision of faith to respond to whatever a command of God says, then the grace of God kicks in to enable us to live it and live in the good of it. So we're powerless without the Holy Spirit, and we're powerless without the grace of God to live in the commands of God, or to live in the will of God, or in the ways of God. So when we read a verse like this, the writer here is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything you have, your mind, your emotions, your will, with all your strength, with everything you have. What basically happens for us is, as we respond to that, saying, God, in and of myself, I can't fulfill that with everything I have. But yet when I make a decision of faith, which is not based on my feelings or my failures or my weaknesses, but it's based on the faith that I have in you and who you are in me, that I'm going to seek to love you, to express a response to you, to love others in the same way, to go the extra mile, to do whatever in response to the word, then the grace of God kicks in to enable us to do it. But we find often it's only when we make a decision to make a move that the grace of God then kicks in to enable it. Let's have a look at another verse, Deuteronomy 11, 22 to 24. It says here, if you carefully obey all the commands I'm giving you to keep, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to stay close to him, then the Lord will drive out all those nations before you. You shall take possession of nations that are even greater and more powerful than you. Everywhere you place your feet shall become yours. So now here's a promise that goes with a command. So he's saying, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you, and to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to stay close to him. But what does it then say? It then says, then the Lord will go before you. He'll drive out. He will overcome. He will confuse the enemy. He will do whatever. So as we seek simply to love God, to respond to his commands, to walk in his ways, to do whatever he says, then there's some promises that come with it. There's some actions that God then gets involved in. And he said, he'll drive out the enemy. He'll overcome whatever's coming against you. He'll take on that which wants to come against us. As we simply seek to God, I want to love you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to be obedient to you. As I seek to have a good attitude, a good heart, as I seek to love others and be in right relationship with others, then God goes before us, and he takes on the enemy. God defeats. Anybody believe that? We're just looking at the word this morning. But then it says, he'll not only drive out the enemy. Why does he drive out the enemy? So that we take possession of nations. Wow, that's quite a big thing, isn't it? So suddenly it goes from just simply loving and walking with God in relationship with him to suddenly possessing nations. Everywhere you tread will be yours. Well, all of that just flows from simply saying, God, I want to walk in a relationship of love with you. God, I want to walk out living in obedience to you, which is a relationship of love. And yet, from the simplicity, from what seems quite a small, intimate, very personal thing, just walking in a relationship of love, walking with God, he then says, nations are going to be affected. The enemy is going to be routed. He's going to be dispossessed. Everywhere where you tread, everywhere where you go, you're going to possess it. It's going to be yours. It doesn't say you have to have mighty faith. You have to be some massive overcoming, victorious believer that's shaking everything, you know, all the time. He's basically saying, just love God. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul. Just let him consume you. Let him be, you know, all in you. Love him with everything you've got. Just... And as you seek to do that, the grace of God will kick in. But as you seek to do that, I'm going to rout the enemy. I'm going to give you nations. Everywhere you tread your foot, you know, I'm going to give you. You're going to have victory. You're going to overcome. You're going to break through. Does anybody believe this morning? It just simply flows from something really simple where he says, just love God. Love God. Love God. Love God. It doesn't say be a great woman or man of faith. It doesn't say you have to have everything sorted in your life. It just says get after God. Love God. Just love God. Just love God. And I'll deal with the enemy. I'll give you nations. Everywhere you tread, I'll give you. I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah. Everywhere, it says, everywhere you place your feet shall become yours. What does that mean? It means you can walk in victory. You can walk in joy. You can walk in freedom. Because every step you take in your walk with God, it's the place where the enemy cannot have victory. So everywhere where you place your feet shall become yours. So as we walk with God, we're dispossessing the enemy from our own lives, from other people's lives. As we're walking in his ways, the enemy cannot stay there because that step of faith, that walk of faith, that walk with God dispossesses, it routs the enemy. The enemy's all around us, seeks to take us out, seeks to hold people in captivity, doesn't want us to be fruitful. But yet, God says here, if you just seek me, love me, with everything you got, as you walk by faith, as you take steps of faith everywhere, I'll rout the enemy. The enemy won't be able to stay there. He'll be dispossessed. He'll be overcome. You'll see victories. You'll see breakthrough. Because everywhere where you tread your foot, I will give you. I will dispossess the enemy. There will be freedom there. There'll be fullness there. There'll be wholeness there. There'll be joy there. There'll be liberty there. Because you have that in you and you take that step and the enemy cannot stay there. So it becomes a place of victory. And the next one, a place of overcoming. The next one, a place of healing. The next one, a place of freedom. Why? Because you are carrying me inside of you. And wherever you go, I will give you that as your possession. And what does it flow from? Just loving Jesus. Just loving Jesus. Okay, Deuteronomy 30. I command you today, love the Lord your God. Wow, there's loads of commands about loving God. And walk in his ways and keep his commands, his decrees and laws, so that you may live and prosper. Wow. And the Lord your God will bless you in the way that you multiply in the land that you are to possess. There's some more promises here to do with God's commands. So remember, God's commands are walking in his way. So let's translate this one. I command you today, if you know, walk in my ways today, walk in my will today, keep my commands today, walk in my ways, walk in my truth, walk in who you are in me, in my decrees, in my promises, in my, and you will live and prosper and you'll be blessed and you'll multiply, you'll increase. So we don't have to try and do that. He's simply saying, God, I want to walk in you today. I want to walk in the truth today. I want to walk in freedom today. I'm going to walk in life today. It's a choice we make. They're decisions of faith, if we had the board here. They're decisions of faith that we make constantly throughout the day. that enable us to live and prosper. Where does the prosperity start? It starts inside of us. It starts in your spirit. That's where the prosperity begins. That's where the overcoming begins. It's not, I've got to do something to get something. It's what we already have on the inside of us. Let's have a look at the 1 Kings 2, verse 2 to 3. It says, ladies, it says here, be strong and manly. That's what he says here. Fulfill the charge the Lord your God has given you to walk in his ways, living obedient to all the principles and commandments that is revealed in the written law given to Moses. Then you will prosper in all you do, no matter where you are. So prosperity comes from God. It comes from what's happening on the inside of you. Prosperity, according to the word here, is not based on what is happening around you or outside you. Prosperity is all to do with what's happening on the inside of you. You can have lots of money and still have a poverty spirit. How do you know somebody's got a poverty spirit? Because when they have money, they're scared to spend it or do anything with it in case they end up with none. That's the spirit of poverty. Somebody can not have a lot, but they're very generous because their prosperity is what's going on within them, not what they have in their hands or around them. So prosperity, it flows from within. It's an attitude. It flows from what's happening in your spirit, what's going on in you. And it says here, then you'll prosper in all you do, no matter where you are. Be strong and manly, it says there. Fulfill the charge the Lord has given you, to walk in his ways. See, that's the commands of God are simply just to walk in his will and in his ways. Let's have a look, 2 Kings 17. If you carefully obey the laws and commandments the Lord wrote down for you, then you will not worship any other gods, nor will you forget the covenant I made with you or desire any other gods. Instead, you will live in awe of the Lord your God, and he will give you victory over all your enemies. So there's a lot of victory that we've been reading about over the last few minutes connected with being obedient, walking in his commands, walking in his ways. How do we know that? Because God doesn't know defeat. He doesn't know how to lose. He's never been on the losing side. And if we're walking in his ways, walking in his will, then we're not going to walk in defeat. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to walk in victory. We'll overcome. Even when things are difficult or challenging, because God doesn't know what defeat looks like, he only knows victory. He only knows how to overcome. He only knows how to break through. If we're walking in his ways, then surely we're going to walk in victory to overcome. So no matter where we are or what is going on around us, this walk of faith is everywhere we tread our feet, flows from a relationship of love and saying, God, I want to love you today, walk in love today with everything that I have, even though sometimes I don't feel it, stuff is challenging, I'm going to seek to walk in your ways in that way. I thank you that as I seek to do that, your grace kicks in my life to enable me to live in that way in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I walk in your ways, there's nothing that can get the better of me, because you say that everywhere where I tread my feet, it belongs to me. The enemy gets dispossessed. Stuff gets overcome. I walk in freedom, victory, wholeness, healing, peace, liberty, life, whatever it is that God wants us to live in today. Then what flows? The awe of God. A reverence for God. We live in awe of the Lord, our God. I think a lot of the time as Christians, we're looking for feelings to back up what the word says. You know, well, I don't feel it. Well, I don't see it. But yet decisions of faith are not to do with what we see or what we feel. On one level, sometimes the walk of faith can be quite unemotional. Sometimes decisions of faith are just decisions you have to make in the cold light of circumstances, in the cold light of day. It says, I'm going to believe God here and I'm going to trust God here. It's like Job, you know, a number of times when you read through the book of Job where he makes a decision, God, no matter what's going around me, I'm going to praise you. I choose to praise you. I choose because I know who you are. The circumstances are saying you're not that because the circumstances are saying you've let me down. You haven't fulfilled your promise. Everything seems to be taken away from me, but yet you are God. I know who you are, and yet I'm going to praise you. David says that through Psalms in different places, doesn't he? God, no matter what's going around me, things are coming against me, people are coming at whatever's happening, but yet will I praise you, yet will I exalt you, yet. And so all the way through the Bible, we see challenges with different people's lives, but they say the same thing, yet will I praise you, yet will I still walk in your ways, yet I'm going to do this because you've said it, because I know who you are. And I think God proves who he is, or he's proved in our lives, when sometimes we do that, yet will I praise you. Yet I'm still going to be obedient. Yet I'm going to walk by faith. Yet I'm going to do this anyway. Are you here this morning? There's loads of stuff when you look through Psalms about God's commands and everything. His commands are walking in his way and walking in his will. But it's not a, I've just got to obey God. It's all in the context of love. Wanting to love God, not in our own strength even, because we can't. But I think there's a response that just says, Father, I thank you that you have lavished me with your grace. You're pouring yourself into my life today. And I want to respond to you with thanksgiving. I just want to worship you. Jesus, I want to honor you today in the way that I live, the way that I think, the way that I speak, the way that I act. Lord, I want to walk step by step today. I thank you that the steps I take, you give me victory. Thank you that you dispossess the enemy. No matter what's coming against me, as I seek to walk with you today, I thank you that you go before me, you rout the enemy, you overcome the enemy, you dispossess him, you take him out. You know what I mean? It's a step-by-step walk. Let's have a look. Matthew 22, verse 36. Let's have a look at the great commands, if you like, that God gave. You know, when Jesus, some of the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they started questioning him, trying to test him. And they asked him, what is the most important commandment that God has given in the law? And in verse 37 of Matthew 22, Jesus says, look at this again. You're to love the Lord your God. What's the greatest command? It's not to do mighty exploits. It's not to do great things, in quotes, for God. It's what did Jesus say? The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything that you have, with all your strength, your mind. So, when God speaks about commands, what does it all boil down to? He basically just says, just love me back. That's what I'm after. Just relationship with you. I'm not after you to do mighty things. I'm not after you to do great stuff. I'm not after you to be the next whatever. I just want you to love me. I love you in an unfailing way. I gave everything for you to have a relationship with you. And that's at the heart of God. I just want relationship with love with you. And from that, the desire grows and flows to want to obey God, to want to walk in obedience, to want to walk in his ways, to walk in his truth, to be available for whatever he wants to do in our lives or in somebody else's life, to go here, to go there. But it flows from love. Jesus replied, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul life and every aspect of your personality and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important of God's commands. And the second is similar. You're to love your neighbour in the same way you already care about yourself and your own welfare. Everything that is taught in God's law and by the prophets is based on these two commandments to love. Wow. So Jesus sums up the whole of the Bible in two ways. Just love God and love people. If you do that, you're going to fulfill everything that God wants. It's like, wow. Sometimes, you know, we can so easily get wrapped up in where am I at and what's happening? Am I fruitful? Am I pleasing God? Am I doing this, that, and the other? And what's happening? But actually, God just wants intimacy with Him, a relationship of love, a response of love, an availability for whatever He wants to do. That's the great command, isn't it? Those two things there. And then flowing from that is the Great Commission, 28 in Matthew. So now I tell you, go and make disciples in every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded and taught. And be assured of this, I'm always present with you, even to the end of this age. Where is God present? God is present where His commands are being outworked. Because if His commands are His will and His way, that's where He's going to be present. Because that's where He is. So God is seeking to work out His will and His way in our lives and through our lives. And so He's present in His will and His way being walked out. So God is present in our obedience. He's not present in our disobedience. And so when it says here, here's the Great Commission, go and make disciples. But what does it say before that? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Then He says, go and make disciples. But right at the end of those couple of verses, in verse 20, it says, and I will be present with you even to the end of this age. Where is He present? He's not just present with us just because we're now children of God. He's present with us because we're seeking to walk out His ways. Because if we're children of God, then we are seeking to walk out His ways. John 13:34. I'm giving you a new command. Love each other. In the same way that I've loved you, you must love one another. Then it says in verse 35, then the world will see that we are His disciples. What amazed me when I was going through a load of scriptures to do with commands is just it's how much or how many times it refers to love. It's all in the context of love. That God's not a battering ram just giving commands that we're just to slavishly obey. But it's all in the context of love, because His commands are His will and His way. And to walk in His will and His way is a walk of love. Us to Him, but also Him to us. So it's not a one-way love where God has loved us and therefore now we just respond back in a slavish way of love back to Him. He has loved us because of what He's done, but we, when we get saved, we come into His love and therefore we walk in a relationship of love with Him. And so as He lavishes us with Himself, we want to respond in this walk of love. That walk of love is walking in His ways, walking in His commands, walking in obedience to who He is. So then let's just have a look in verse 14:21. Here we go. Jesus asked a question, who really loves me? Then it says here, the one who not only has my commands, but obeys them. So this is where, remember, His commands are to walk in His way and to walk in His will. So He says, the one who actually obeys them is the one that loves me. Anyone who genuinely loves me like that will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will continue to reveal myself to him. Wow. So a revelation of God comes as we continue to walk in His commands, to walk in love, to walk in His ways. So it's not that it's like, God, I need another revelation of you in order to walk in my ways. He says, no, walk in my ways and you will have a constant revealing of who I am in your life. So, and He says here, the one who not only knows my commands but obeys them. And He says, that's the one I'm going to reveal myself to. You know, if you're in a relationship with love with somebody, or then you open up your heart. You don't hide anything. You reveal who you are. But if there isn't that relationship of love, then you don't just open up your heart and reveal everything to that person because you're not quite sure where that relationship's at. Can I trust this person? Am I really going to open up to them? Do I really know what they're going to do with what I tell them? Or, you know, are they going to use this against me? Or whatever it might be, you know? Or you're just not, I know I can't open my heart fully because my relationship's not at that level yet. But what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here, is the one who really loves me, I'm going to reveal myself to, and I'm going to show the what is he, when it's revealed, what does that mean? It's not just have an experience of, it's I'm going to share things that are on my heart. I'm going to speak to them about things that are really, I'm burdened about, or things that I want to do. I want to reveal the secrets of my heart, what's going on in me. I want to, you know, it's the heart of God, isn't it? It's the heartbeat of God. That's what he's, I'm going to reveal who I am, what's on my heart, the things I want to do. Because in that relationship of love, there's a relationship of trust. And I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody that God trusts. That he can reveal things to, say things to, knowing that it's not just because, interesting here, it's not only ones who know my commands, but obey them. So God wants to reveal things to you and me because he wants us to live in the good of it, but because he wants to do things through our lives. So it's not just about, oh, I've had this revelation from God. Brilliant, what are you doing with it? You know, it's about living out something. John 15, verse 10. You'll remain in my love if you obey what I've commanded. So what's he really saying here? You'll remain in my love if you continue to walk in my ways, in what I've commanded you, to walk in my will, in the same way that I've remained in my Father's love by obeying what he commanded me. So Jesus said, as I sought to walk in my Father's ways and be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece on earth, as I sought to walk in his ways, I walked in his love. Because it makes it sound like here, God's pretty picky about who he loves. But God's love is connected with walking with him and walking in his ways. Is it not? Well, it's what it seems to say here in the Bible. We want to walk in his love, walk in his ways. And Jesus said this. Well, actually, not in this verse here, but he says somewhere else, didn't he? The reason my Father loves me is because I obey his commands. Wow, that's pretty, you know, you could say there's even an if there. The reason my Father loves me is because I obey his commands. What's Jesus saying? God is walking out his will in his way. And if I'm going to walk in relationship with love, then I'm going to walk in his will in his way. Interesting message this, isn't it? Because I've been flicking around this in my head and my heart. It's like, wow, the commands of God are liberating and freeing. But living in God's love is living in his commands, living in his, you know, it's like, does that mean God's love is conditional? That's a big subject right there. Well, his love isn't unconditional. We know that. We know his love's unfailing, because that's what the Bible says. But the Bible doesn't actually say anywhere that his love is unconditional. If his love was unconditional, you wouldn't need repentance. You can just come to God and say, God, take me as I am. It doesn't matter what I'm like. And if his love was unconditional, he would say, well, I'll take you as you are. It doesn't matter. You can live however you want. I'm going to love you anyway. God loves us, but we don't walk in a relationship of love with him unless we're walking in his ways, walking in the truth, walking in his commands. That's a relationship of love as far as God is concerned. Because Jesus says here, John 15, you will remain in my love if you obey what I've commanded you, in the same way that I have remained in my Father's love by obeying what he has commanded me. Then John 15, verse 12, a couple of verses later, the command I give you to obey is simply this, love one another in the same way that I've loved you. No greater love than this exists, and it's expressed in your willingness to lay down your life for your friends. If you obey what I command you, then you will be my friends. Pretty strong, really, isn't it? But friendship is in a walk. Friendship is to do with God's will and his ways. That's the context of friendship with God. See, friendship with God, it can't be on our terms. It's on his terms. So friendship with God is about walking in his ways, walking in his truth, walking in who he is, living and abiding, remaining in him. That's walking with God. That's friendship with God. That's love with God, isn't it? It's walking with him. But what do we say right at the beginning of the message? It's we can't do this in our own strength. But when we respond to God, the grace of God kicks in. So we have the Holy Spirit to enable us to live in this. And as we choose to respond to God and live in this way, the grace of God kicks in to live it. 1 John 3, verse 22, last couple of verses. My dear friends, if there is nothing in our hearts to make us feel condemned, we can have confidence before God that when we pray and so are able to receive from him anything we ask, this is because we're living in obedience to his commands and are doing what pleases him. How do you know when you're walking in his commands and walking in his ways? You're at peace. There's a rest in your, not just your spirit, but your soul. There's a peace. You can have turmoil all around you. You can have stuff going on, can't you? But when you're walking in his ways, there's a rest, there's a peace. See, that, and this is what John's saying here. There's a confidence of faith here that when there's a rest, when there's a peace, then we have confidence when we pray. And his commands, as you know well, first to believe that, this is John 3:23, and this is God's command, as you know well, first to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, your Savior and Lord, and then to love others and allow them to love you as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands show they continue to live in him and he lives in them. We can be sure that he does live in us because he has given us his Spirit. And how can you tell for sure that you love God's children? Because you love God, you obey his command to love others. The only way to express true love for God is to be obedient to what he has told you to do. If you really love him, those commands are not a burden to you. And this is love for God, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And this is the commandment that you heard from the beginning. This is how we are to walk in love. So what does it mean to walk in love with God? To obey his commands. Or another way, to walk in the truth. Or to live in the truth. Or another way is to walk in his ways or to walk in his will. Because that's what love for God is, isn't it? So what did John say? What was it, James? That love is shown in our acts. Don't love with words, but with actions. Was that James or John? James. You know, don't love with words. Don't just say, God, I love you, or tell others I love you. But actually, love is demonstrated with actions. That's what Jesus is basically saying here, isn't it? Through the verses that we've written, our love for God is shown by our obedience. That's not a popular word, is it? Sometimes when we talk about relationship with God in this way, it takes all the emotion out of it. And it can, if we're not careful, it's like, well, it sounds a bit clinical. It's not nice and emotional, nice and, you know, fluffy feely stuff, you know, that I like to feel with Jesus and all of that. There is that dynamic of relationship with God, isn't there? That kind of, you're overwhelmed. You're it's like kind of that part. But at the same time, there's that just, Jesus, I want to walk with you today, so I want to walk in obedience. And sometimes that's not easy. Challenges, confrontation, circumstances, whatever are going on in our lives or towards us or from other people or around us or whatever, the enemy. seeking to have a go. But Jesus basically sums up, doesn't he? You show your love by being obedient, walking into my ways. That's love for God at the end of the day. Because remember, God's love is based out of the will. It's agape. It's from the will. It's not from an emotion. It's not from the mind, God's love. It's rooted. Agape is rooted in the will of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Because there was nothing emotional in terms of the way the world was towards God that would make him want to love the world. He'd been rejected, turned their back on him, all of that kind of stuff. And most of our response in the natural, if people treated us in that way, would be pretty like, well, they deserve it. I'm going to, you know, stuff them. Do you know what I mean? But because his will, his nature, his love, then it flows from that. And so for us, in one sense, it's that our love for God flows from our will. Choose, like Job did, David did, others. God, I choose to love you today, partly because of who he is and what he's done, but also because God doesn't want us to be emotionally based people, but faith-based people. Because again, faith is not an emotion, is it? And sometimes faith, in the face of circumstances, in the face of feelings, says, I'm going to choose to do this anyway. That is loving God. Making the decision to walk in the truth when everything else in you is like, no, I don't feel like it, circumstances, anything else, but no, I'm going to choose to hold on to the word. That is walking in love with God. He's like, brilliant, look at that. Everything in them was saying, don't do it. Circumstances, people, this, that, and the other, the enemy, they felt rubbish. They thought everything was going down. But in the middle of that, they still loved me because they went, no, God, I'm going to choose to hold on to your word. And sometimes it doesn't even come out like, I choose to hold on to your word, does it? Sometimes it comes out, God, the only thing I can do is hold on to your word. I don't know what else to do. God's like, that's love. That's brilliant. Look at that. Right in the face of that lot, they're still loving me because they're taking hold of my word and choosing to walk in it. That's loving God. I've read all the scriptures that I've had run out. So let's stand up, shall we? Brilliant. Four words for you. I can't do it, which is brilliant. So I love it when, you know, God puts stuff before us that we can't do, you know, and he speaks about relationship with love, dynamic of love, walk of love. And when we talk, it's like we then go all lovey-dovey feelings. And God's like, no. It's not based in that. It's based in my will. It's based in sometimes just sheer, no, God, I'm just going to crack on no matter what's going on. Because I'm sure when Jesus went to the cross, there was a lot of stuff going on in him that was like, this is the last thing in the world that I want to do. Yet he got to the point where he humbled himself, didn't he, and said, okay, not mine, but your will. Let's go. Interesting, wasn't it? Not my will, but your will. So even at that point, Jesus knew it was all to do with the will. It wasn't to do with feelings, emotions, and certainly it was to do with the will. So let's just thank God, first of all, for his unfailing love. Remember, his commands are not burdensome, but they're liberating, freeing. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I thank you for your grace that kicks in our lives when we seek to obey you, when we seek to respond to your word, when we seek to live in the truth, when we seek to walk in your ways. Father, I thank you that so many times through your word, when you talk about commands, it's all connected with love, relationship of love, walk with love, expressing love. Your word even says there's only one debt that should remain, and that's to love one another. And that you say those who love one another in that way fulfill your purpose for their lives. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe this morning, your first response is, God, I can't do it. But I thank you for your grace that kicks in to enable me to walk in your ways, to be obedient to your commands. I thank you that as I seek to walk with you, you dispossess the enemy. You rout the enemy. You give me every place where I tread. I thank you, you dispossess sickness. You dispossess negativity. You dispossess stuff that just goes on around me when I seek to walk in your ways. Because your word says you deal with the enemy. You come against the enemy. And I thank you as I seek to walk with you, I can hold up that shield of faith, that sword of the Spirit. And I thank you that I can overcome. Maybe you need to speak to some situations that are around you, coming against you, negativity, need, lack, I don't know what it might be. You need healing. You know, just speak some stuff at this moment. Father, I thank you that you give me victory right now. Thank you as I seek to walk in relationship of love with you, which is walking in his ways, walking in obedience. As I seek to walk in obedience to your word, to the truth, in your ways, I thank you that you give me victory. I thank you there's the wholeness, the freedom, the liberty, the health, life. That's where it all is, in that walk with you. It's all there. You've provisioned it already. Everything's there. As I simply walk with you, I just walk in it. Walk in it and walk in it. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I thank you for appointing me to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to last, fruit that's going to remain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful God. Thank you for the nudges of your Holy Spirit today to remind me from the will, not from your emotion. From the will, not just from your thinking. Thank you, nudge me today, Holy Spirit, where I might react. I thank you, nudge me. No, from the will, don't react. Make a decision. Choose to walk in forgiveness. Choose to walk in grace. Choose to walk in mercy. Choose to walk in love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you nudge me today, throughout the day, to live in you, to speak in the way you would, to act in the way, to treat others in the way you would. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus summed up the law and the prophets in two sentences, didn't he? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. He kind of updated that second part in John 13 when he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, now love one another. So he kind of updated those two, took it a step further than just love your neighbor as yourself. He actually said, now love others in the same way that I've loved you. So we kind of raised the bar. That yet the grace is there to live it. Father, I thank you. You don't command us to do anything without the power to do it. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're in us, that you empower us to live every command out in your strength, not our own. So, Father, I stand here this morning saying, I can't do it in my own strength. But I thank you, in you, all things are possible. I thank you that today I can live in your commands, I can live in love, I can walk by faith, I can overcome circumstances, overcome the enemy, because you've given me your power, you've given me your Holy Spirit. You've given me the grace. As I make those decisions, no, I choose to love today, I choose to walk in this way. Thank you, the grace is there to enable that. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, enable me to love in the way that you do today, to respond in the way that you would today. Thank you, Father. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's good, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.